And turn to the book of James, and turn to James chapter 3. James chapter 3 and verse number 1, that's where we'll begin reading tonight. Let's go ahead and stand. And as you turn in there, I want to make a few comments before we read the text tonight. If you're familiar with this passage, you know that it deals with the tongue. There's all kind of verses in the Bible, especially in Proverbs and different places, that make reference to how we use our mouth. But boy, if you just want the most scathing remarks you can find in one single passage about the misuse of somebody's mouth, you find it right here in James chapter 3 and the first 12 verses. Now, I don't know about you, but I can tell you, and my wife can tell you, amen, sister, that my number one problem is my mouth. And I may not know you as well as I need to know you, but I bet you I can put my finger on your number one problem, your mouth. And I want to say also before we get into this tonight, I'm not preaching this because I've heard something or there's some kind of problem or I'm trying to straighten somebody out or I heard somebody's been on Facebook talking about somebody or talking about me or anything. The matter of fact is, far as I know, unless I'm in La La Land, everybody's being sweet and talking real pretty and beautiful about everybody, huh? I know we don't have any gospers in here, bless the Lord. But I think it's just every once in a while, this is just good preventative medicine. And I want you to know also before we get in this text tonight, I'm looking at myself. I mean, I want everybody in here tonight as we look at that. Don't think about somebody else. Don't look around at somebody else and say, yeah, well, you ought to preach this on Sunday morning when everybody was here. Well, you know what? If I can just get you faithful crowd, us that probably would do something with this sermon, if I can just get us to get right about it, then maybe we can, you know, influence the rest of the church, okay? You need to understand that this thing right here, this little thing, that tongue, man, the trouble that it causes. If you want a scathing rebuke of it, just put your eyes down in your Bible and read with me. James chapter 3 and verse number 1. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold, also the ships which, though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature. It is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed to mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine, figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. And we'll just stop there, verse number 12. All right, that's enough. And Brother LaVon, you pray for it and we'll go with it. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, please help me. Help us. Yes, Lord. Yes. Yes, yes, that'd be good. Amen, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Listen, we're not going to go in great detail. We're not going to take these scriptures here tonight and just squeeze every single thing we got can get out of it. But we're just going to look at this tonight and let it be a reminder to us as a church and us as individual Christians to watch our mouth, amen? Not to do so much damage with our tongue. It's going to come, unfortunately. But let's try to do damage control, amen? Better to be thought of as a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt. We know that God gave us two ears and one mouth. We'll listen twice as much as we speak. And boy, in the multitude of the words, that's what the Bible says. There wanteth not sin. The more you talk, the more likely it is that something sinful is going to come out of your mouth. But we're going to look at these verses and get a few things about it and remind us. And that's what I hope that we'll do. I hope we just won't sit here tonight and soak up some information and get it and say, yeah, that's right. And yeah, that's how people are. And I'm like that sometimes. Yeah, I hope at the end of this thing, what we'll do is we'll look at it and we'll say, now, Lord, for the sake of this church and my marriage and my family and people around me, God, show me in my heart where I can do better with my mouth. Amen. Just a few things we'll look at here tonight in these verses. First of all, we'll start there in verse number 2. And the first thing you'll find out about it is that a perfect man, and when the Bible uses the word of perfect, it's talking about somebody being spiritually mature or complete. That's a fellow who is not offensive with his tongue. Verse number 2, for in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same, the Bible says, is a perfect man and able also to bridle the whole body. Now you talk about saying I'm a spiritual person and I'm spiritually mature and I'm spiritually complete. Well, if you are, you're going to have some kind of control over that mouth. And when you find somebody don't have control over that mouth, listen, it's because there's something on the inside wrong. The Bible says out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. What's inside of you will come out. And you say, oops, I didn't mean to, and I shouldn't have said that. No, when the pressure is on, you don't have time to stop that mouth. And when the pressure is on, whatever's inside that wicked heart of ours will come out of your mouth. So if you want to find out how spiritual somebody really is, I'm going to talk about how many Bible studies you go to, how many praise reports you give, how many times you put two nickels in the plate when it comes by. You want to talk about true spirituality? What are you doing with that mouth of yours? Do you have your tongue under control or is it flapping? I've said this before. Some of you need to come and lay your tongue on the altar, but we ain't got one big enough. A lot of people like that. Amen. The sign of spiritual maturity is somebody that can control their mouth. And when we can't control our mouth, that's because we're not spirit-filled. When you're spirit-filled and the Spirit of God's controlling you, you can control the mouth. Let's be real clear here tonight. Let's don't get any ideas about how spiritual we are, how much we are. We're such a gift to the body of Christ, and everybody want to emulate us. And boy, we the real thing, man. We are real spiritual. And you run in your mouth. And some of you don't run your mouth as much as you run your thumbs and your pointers. I know what you're doing. Some of you, bless the Lord, you done punched them keys and sent them text messages and face plant and all that stuff so long. You don't know how to run your mouth as much anymore. You do it through your fingers. We took your cell phone away from you and took your computer away from you. You'd get to running that mouth again. You got to have an outlet. I'll just say this right here tonight in case somebody ain't mad already. I'm not saying you can't do good on Facebook. I'm not saying you don't do good on Facebook. But if you spend much time on Facebook, I bet you if the old preacher could log in, and I don't want to, but I bet the old preacher could log in and see every transaction, every message you send, you ain't doing good. Don't you try to fool me. You say, well, you can look at everything I said. There ain't nothing wrong. Well, I tell you what, you are the exception to the exception to the exception to the rule. Let me bow down to you, Miss Spiritual. I'm so glad you can spend 2 hours a day on faceplant. You never send nothing bad. You're so spiritual. No, you're a liar. You spend an hour, 2 hours a day on faceplant, I promise you, you're messing up. And let me just say this before I go on. What in the world would you want to spend that much time on a computer talking about you? You're not that interesting. You are a legend in your own mind. Go out and dig some potatoes. Go deer hunting. Get out in the yard and root it up with your nose. That's better than being on the computer. Hog's got more sense than that. Okay, well, let's go home. All right, amen. A spiritual person can control that thing. Number two, if a man can control his mouth, he's got a pretty good shot at controlling the rest of his body. That's the hardest thing to control. Verse number two, many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same as a perfect man. Able, listen, what does the Bible say? Able also to bridle the whole body. He said, you show me a fella's got that mouth under control, I'll show you a fella's probably got everything else. Because the hardest thing to get under control is the mouth. And if a fella can fix that mouth, he's probably got most everything else fixed. I don't tell you something about how hard it is to control. What mouth is... Here's the thing about it. That mouth is so hard to control, but it does so much damage. You ever heard that thing we said when we were children? Maybe some of you said it. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words shall never hurt me. Now, whoever made that up was belched up out of hell. There's things that can be said to you. I'd much rather somebody take an axe handle to me and me heal up from my wounds than to what some people can say with that mouth. We got to watch it. And again, let me go back to Facebook and computer a little bit. I ain't been hitting that lately, so I feel like I'm going to hit that some tonight, okay? Now listen, you'll not have no problem. If you're not on Facebook, then go to sleep through this. If you are on Facebook and you're a nice, sweet, gentle Christian, then forget it. Because what I always heard, if you throw a rock in a pack of dogs and one hits the one that does the hollering. If I throw that rock in there and you the dog I'm preaching to. I didn't quite mean it like that. What's happened in our society today is it's easier than it's ever been to lash out without thinking. Used to, unless you had a personal confrontation, now then you might have time to calm down. But what's happened is you don't have to be with somebody. You can be 1,000 miles away from somebody and you get on that computer or you get on that texting and they tell you something and you tell them something. They tell you something and you tell them something. And what it is they don't have to be up close. It don't have to be personal. It's just, I'm mad right now. And it's out there. And you can't get it back. And let me tell some of you folks, in case you don't know this, they've got it all. We can get a copy of what you said. I've had a church member before that went and done that and got a copy of something somebody else had said to prove what they had said, because they didn't think I would believe it. And that's right on them. They should, because I ain't going to believe something on somebody unless they got proof. I had to prove. I still got a thing, unless I got rid of it, put up a proof on somebody of something they said in case I need it for future references. Don't get me wrong, not to put dirt on them, but so they don't accuse me of lying. You understand what I'm saying? Accuse me of doing something wrong. So what's happened now is we can get on there and get real mad or get in an argument with somebody, and they don't have to be in our house, they don't have to be in our yard, and we get on that computer and say stupid, crazy things. And hit that button, and when they're gone, you can't never retrieve them. You can't get them back. And you say, well, I ain't doing that with my mouth. It's the same thing. It's something you're saying by the computer. You got to be careful about all that junk. That's the next big thing that preachers need to be preaching on their churches. On media madness. All right, that went over like a lead balloon. Let's go to the next one. I tell you this, if we can stop and control that thing, but I'm telling you something, and I've told these young people this, and you better be telling your young kids this. It ain't like it was when we were growing up. Nowadays, if you act like a fool, there's somebody there to get you on camera. There's somebody there to film it. There's somebody there to text it. And listen, these kids, well, it's a mistake even. These kids are 10, 11, and 12, and 13-year-old, and they're getting these cell phones, and these 14 and 15-year-olds getting these cell phones, and they're taking naked pictures of each other and send them off. That happens all the time. All the time. And now it ain't like we used to. If you moon somebody when I was growing up or send somebody a naked picture, your mama or daddy would beat the tar out of you, you get in trouble. Now you're 13 and 14, you're labeled as a sex offender the rest of your life. A sex offender. I think that's overkill, but you better be telling your kids, but that getting on there texting and sending stuff, you gotta watch that stuff. If y'all think I'm overreacting, you think what you want to. You don't have the opportunity I have to be in fellowship with so many different families and so many different teenagers, and there's so many different problems that I'm aware of. Now, the third thing I want to say about the tongue is little, but it has more power than a bit to control a horse or a ham to control a boat. And that little tongue boasteth great things. Verse number 3, behold, we put bits in the horse's mouth that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold, also the ships, which, though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. Tongue ain't very big, is it? Boy, I can boast some big things, can't you? You ever seen somebody get liquored up and start running that mouth? They think they're 10 foot tall and bulletproof. Well, they's a drunk staggering around there. They couldn't whip themselves out of a wet paper bag. They think they can whip you and everybody else just running that mouth. And then when somebody dots their eye, or somebody and these folks, they go in the bar and they get liquored up and they get to run in their mouth. And they don't understand that. Listen, man, any bar you go to, there's some fella sitting in there waiting on you. He's sitting at that bar waiting for a fella to come in there and start running his mouth, because he went there that night to dot somebody's eye. Yeah, that's why he left. He went home saying, I'm going to whip somebody before I go home tonight. And some drunk fool is a good candidate. People just running their mouth. That tongue is little. Boy, can boast some things, can it? Well, I'll do this, and I just won't put up with that, and I'll do that. I bet you will. I sure bet you will. What are you boasting or using your tongue to run your mouth about? Anybody? Okay, I confess, I'm the only one in here that runs my mouth. I'll pray for the preacher. I'm the only one in here that's got a problem with my mouth at times. You say, Brother Dennis, are you confessing to us that sometimes you don't use your mouth in a kind way, and sometimes you use your mouth in an unchristian-like manner? Is that what you're saying, Brother Dennis? Yeah. That's exactly what I'm saying. Boy, you don't fool me. You sitting there tonight looking so nice and sweet and smiling and all. But I read this book here, see? I didn't get on Facebook and read what others said about you, bless God. I read what this book said about you. I know what this Bible says about you. All of us in here are guilty of it. All of us. We got to watch ourselves. We really, really do. The tongue is a fire, and it just burns up and destroys others. Verse number 6. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature. It is set on fire of hell. My goodness. That's pretty. Y'all think Brother Dennis is rough? That's King James Bible. You ever heard anybody call and say they had a tongue from hell? It burns and it destroys. He calls it a world of iniquity. He says it defiles the whole body. Set on fires of hell. You know what a fire does? It just destroys and just burns up stuff. Just gets out there and just burns it and destroys it. How many relationships have you and I destroyed with that mouth? How many Christians have been destroyed with that mouth? How many lost people have been turned away from the gospel because of some Christian's big mouth? Many of them. Many of them. It's a fire of hell in our mouth. You just go around, just get mad and blow off and say things. I'm trying to make excuses for it too is what we do. It ain't gossip because it's true, Brother Dennis. You know what? Everything that's true about you, do you want me to tell it? You think you have a right to tell something about somebody just because you know it to be true? Any excuse would do when the man doesn't have a mind to do something. And if you want to run that mouth, you can make any excuse you want to for it. But I would hope if you found out some things about me, maybe in my past or whatever, you'd be gracious and merciful and, you know, not want to exploit it and tell everybody like you'd want me to treat you, wouldn't you? And let me just tell you now, I know in times past we've had some mouth runners in this church. And like I said, I'm not preaching this tonight because I think we got anything going on. I think everything seems pretty good right now. But I'm going to tell you something. If you're a mouth runner here tonight, or you like to burn up the phone, or you on the inside scoop of all the gossip of Loango, let me just tell you something. While you're on the phone talking about somebody else, you're fine. I'm going to tell you what happens when you get off the phone. Every one of you look at me. I promise you, I know how this thing works out. You're such a fool, you don't know it. You're the subject of the gossip. As much as you're talking about everybody else, they're talking about you when you ain't involved. I know I've been in the group before. when you walk off, then they start talking about you. I've seen it. I felt my ears burning before when I mean, I don't know this for a fact, but I could just feel it, man. Like, oh, Brother Dennis, yeah, thank you. All right, good to see you. Me walk off and I can feel it burning back there. Now, you know, Brother Dennis, he's a pretty good fella, but. You know, Brother Dennis has done good with the church, but. Well, I just don't like the way Brother Dennis, Fires of hell right there in your mouth. The tongue is untamed, verses 7 and 8. For every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed. Man, you go to SeaWorld and watch the dolphins and orca and all that. It's been tamed to mankind, but I tell you what, mankind ain't tamed. Verse number 8. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. That tongue can do more damage than a rattlesnake. It's poison. Who are you talking about, preacher? You and me. That's what I'm talking about. It's untamed. It's unruly evil. Full of deadly poison. We can tame all those animals, but we can't tame the tongue. We can't get it into shape. And I want you to notice what it says here. It says the tongue can no man tame. Everybody look up here at me tonight. You and I will never, ever, ever, ever be able to stop motor mouth, potty mouth, gossip mouth, whatever your problem is. No man can tame it. Only the Holy Spirit of God living within us can tame it. That's the only hope we have. We're not going to stop it. Only the help of God living within us can stop it. And then I want to say this tonight. The tongue is the platform that shows just how hypocritical and wicked our heart is. Now, this is some good verses here to end on. And what he's talking about is good old Baptists here. He said, it don't say Baptist in the text. I know, but you know what? This is so close to most of the Baptists I ever met. They ought to say Baptist, you know. I don't believe in fooling with the Word of God. I believe you'll leave it like it is. But if I was going to have a Dennis Knows paraphrase, I'd say now, verses 9 to 12 is for Baptists. I don't know about everybody else, but I've always been a Baptist, and that's what I've dealt with. Now, notice this whole scenario he goes through here, and this will be our last point tonight, verse number 9. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which remain after the similitude of God. He said, you're blessing God one minute and cursing man the next. Verse number 10. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. You know what he's saying? He's saying that same mouth that you come to church and say, amen, praise the Lord, pastor, hallelujah, it's the one you're using Monday through Saturday to cuss and to raise sand and to talk about people and spread your junk. Amen. Then he gives you a scenario here that just common sense ought to be able to tell you. Verse number 11, doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? He says you go to one fountain at that place and the water's either going to be good or the water's either going to be bad. It ain't going to be both. But it is out of your mouth. He says this, verse number 12, can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? No. Either a vine, figs? No. Can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh? It's against the whole setup of things for us to be coming to church on Sunday morning acting like we're some kind of great Christian and talking so sweet to one another. And then Monday through Saturday, we use our mouth to tear down one another. I just want to interject this too as I'm getting ready to close tonight. It's been my experience in my years of ministry that some women talk to their husband in a way that they would never talk to me. And they come to church and show me more respect than they do their husband. Oh, you'll come in front of me and, oh, Brother Dennis, thank you, brother. Yeah. Amen, praise God. Oh. And fuss and raise your voice at your husband and disrespect him and talk ugly to him. All you ladies, look up here at me now. You say, well, I ain't picking on the ladies, but this is a point I'm going to make. If there's any man in this world that you ought to respect with that mouth over any other man in this world, it'll be your husband. And you fit into this passage right here. If you come into this church and talking nice to me because I'm a preacher and then talking bad to your husband, you don't need to be talking bad to nobody, but you'd be better off to talk bad to me than your husband. Amen. That's good preaching. Hallelujah. That's good. It's real good. I'll come up here and all that, how women do sometimes. Oh, brother, did it. And then go home and talk to your husband like a dog. That's wrong. That's wrong. It ain't right. Your husband gets the first respect. Ladies, God ought to come first, then your husband. Let me see if I can think of anything else, Brother Steve, that might make somebody mad before we close here. Listen, folks, I'm being silly. I am not purposely standing up here trying to make you mad. But what I am trying to do is say some things to shock you a little bit to get us thinking about this problem we have with our mouth. And as we get ready to end this thing tonight, I hope every Christian in here, every man, every woman, whoever you are, will bow your head. And whether you come to the altar or sit right where you at, ask God to help you with that mouth. Ask God to help your preacher with his mouth. I'm not being silly. I want you to ask God to help me with my mouth. Yeah, the deacon, he needs it too. Ask Sister Bernice. Yeah, amen. 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 Hey, you'll get some help, Brother LaVon. You honest. Well, you ask God to help you tonight because this is a serious, serious thing. Every head bowed and every eye closed.